All right, we're talking about coming out, the things that God's helping us to get the coverings off. And because those coverings were put on our lives all the way back in the book of Genesis. That's when God took the animal skins and gave it to Adam and Eve for a covering. But it was just for a covering for a season. Because Jesus came and removed that covering. Amen. And Jesus is now our covering in our life. And to restore, Jesus came to restore man back to the place that God had called him to walk in originally. So we're talking about that covering is to be off our lives. Now, the covering is to be off. I know a lot of people pray and use a prayer shawl. I just want to thank the Lord I've had several given to me, wonderful, and I treasure them. But I treasure them as a gift and not as a means of touching God, because that was a type of the Old Testament. Man, I got Jesus in His New Testament. I don't need anything else. Can you say amen? So all of that was covering. It was a type of, it was Old Testament. But I know the meaning of it. I understand what you're saying in the meaning of it. But we don't need anything physical. You don't need anybody to stand in between you and Jesus. You don't need any of that anymore. All you need is an opportunity to touch Him. And then God can miraculously move in your life. Now, if you use a prayer shawl, then you continue to do that. I'm not saying it's wrong in any kind of sense. I just have no faith there. I have faith in praying in Jesus' name. And I have faith that when I can touch the Lord like that. But wherever, then you, anything that will release faith, you do it and you release faith. Man, I tell you what, whatever you can do to release faith. And so to allow God to miraculously move. All right, so we're coming out of the lies. Everybody say we're coming out of the lies. And they're lies about ourselves, about others, and about God. And these about the lies that we have. Because if we're going to have families, we're going to fight for them. What we're talking about is what we can do spiritually. What we can do spiritually to help our families. What we can do spiritually to help our families. So the major thing that we can do is begin to pull over, pull down the lies in our own personal life. And then secondly, then begin to pull down the lies that the devil's tried to build in my life about other people. You know, there was a time where I thought nobody loved me. That was a lie of the devil. Now, I'll tell you what, you can be mad at me all you want to. I still think you're just so deeply in love with me. I mean, I believe that. That lie has been shattered in my life. For so long, I felt like I had to perform and I had to act just a certain way, had to do a certain thing to get you to love me. I don't believe that anymore. I believe I walk in the favor of the Lord. And God causes you to love me. Now, some of you may not know that yet, but you will. You will. You'll know it sooner or later that God causes you to love me. And so that was one of my lies. So whatever, see, that was a lie that I had about other people. That I didn't believe that. Another lie is that I can't trust people. See, I trust God in people. If you walk up and tell me you're going to do something, I'm going to believe it. I don't care. Well, you 10 minutes forward, you lied to me. That don't matter to me. I mean, I trust God in you. And I don't mind being disappointed a few times in my life. Because I guarantee you, I've celebrated a lot more than I've been disappointed. And so, I'm going to trust you when the devil says, I can't trust you. But I believe I can. I believe that. See, I topple that lie. I believe I can trust Jesus and every one of you. And I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord that you won't be able to harm me. I trust that. There was a time that I was so fearful that everything's going to be taken away from me. Just fearful that things, but no fear anymore. Because I trust the Lord with that. Amen? So you've got to begin to topple lies that will involve other people against your family. And topple the lies. You've got to pull down the lies that separate you as a family. Whatever it is. I mean, there's a thing. See, the Bible, Satan being a deceiver, the word Satan means he comes in and he gets set down between two to divide you. That's what the rascal does. That's his job. Not his job, but that's what he has lowered himself to. His job was to praise God in heaven forever and ever and to be a wonderful praise of God. Amen? But what Lucifer did, he got demoted and he rebelled against God. And where now what he does, he comes down to sit down between two people to divide you. Now, what you've got to do, you've got to have more confidence in the cross of Jesus than you do in the power of the enemy to do that. If not, you're going to be worried about relationships. Let God be able to bring relationships into your life, and let God be able to carry relationships out of your life. Let God have the breathing room in your life, and He'll bless your life. Give God that breathing room. Let Him be in control of that, and just determine. A lot of times, I mean, boy, the devil gets weird sometimes. I can just be sitting down talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I can just feel a wall come right down. Now, what the devil wants me to believe is that there's a wall there. But I just choose not to believe that. I choose to believe that Jesus broke down every wall. Amen. I choose to believe that God, Jesus, broke down the wall. The wall that separated me from God, which separates me from people, is broken down. It's been demolished. Praise God. So I'm just not going to worry about that issue. Those are lies I used to fight. And they involve other people. They involve people. Quit saying that my family all split up. Quit saying that. Quit saying I can't get along with my sister. Man, start saying my sister can't hardly live without me. Man, she loves me. See, begin to have more confidence in the work of Calvary than you do in the work of Satan. If you're somebody's got to believe. So if you have confidence in that, then just believe. Just start believing that everybody loves you. I mean, we're loved. Man, we are loved. We are so loved. And just the joy that brings to you. I mean, somebody says, well, don't somebody have to show they love you? No, not to me. If I believe that, God will show me that. God get love coming in so many different directions. It won't be one little spot in my life that won't have love. Because God is big, man. See, because that brings us right into that next lie. That next lie is about God. That God's not big enough. That the cross wasn't enough. That the blood of Jesus is not enough. And those are all demonic lies that get involved in relationships and in families. So you just got to determine. Either you're going to believe in those lies or you're not. And if you believe in those lies, you're going to have a sad life. Because you're going to have a lot of brokenness. Emotions going to be running wild with you. You have no control there. But when you just stop believing the devil's lies. I heard somebody say something the other day. It was so good. In fact, Crystal, it was you. I didn't even remember it was you. Said, don't let anything in your head that God didn't tell you. If God doesn't have it in His brain about you, don't let it in you. Only let in your brain what God thinks about you. Don't let anything in your brain, don't let anything in there unless it's what God thinks about you. If you will reject every thought but God's thoughts, we'll be okay. And we'll be happy. And we'll walk in a blessed life. And we'll walk in a life that's free of jealousy, that's free of fear. And you all won't always be worried about your husband going to run off with somebody, or your wife's going to run off with somebody, or somebody going to come in and take my pooch away from me. I mean, you won't be worried about those kind of things. Those kind of things dismiss. I'm going to tell you what, you're lovable. I'm here to tell you what, Jesus is lovable in you. Jesus is full of love, and He's in you, and He's lovable. Some of you still just got a few tentacles on you, but you don't know. You're just a teddy bear. But you will, sooner or later, you'll know that God didn't put those porcupine spines out there. That God's really made you into a beautiful little teddy bear. And you are. Somebody said, well, I'm just afraid somebody's going to crush me. Let me tell you something. If that was true, which it's not, because God is our protector and God is our guard. And so that's not true. But if that was, take it from that other side. You're going to live all your life in dread. And then if somebody does topple you for 10 minutes of your life, what's 10 minutes in a life? But see, you just believe, see, I'm lovable. God loves me. And God has caused favor to rest upon me. Now, favor is just not what you do when you walk into the place to ask for a raise. Favor is what you do when you wake up in the morning and you look at her over there in the bed beside you. You understand? Divine favor is on the life of a believer. Coming to a place where you believe that and to where you will not allow, because we're going to go move into the next lie, which will be so important. You've got to get this one down pat. You will not allow. You will not allow the devil's thoughts to torment you. That is oppression. You will not allow the devil's thoughts to torment you anymore. You will pull down as many as you can, as many as you find. And so day after day, you're going to just be pulling those weeds out of your garden. Because God has made you a beautiful garden. God has made you a well-watered garden, he says. God has made you the planting of the Lord. And so the Lord's going to help you to get those weeds out of there that's trying to stifle all that wonderful fruit. Amen. All right, how do we know the lie exists? You know the lie exists because it's the fruit, man. You don't have to. I tell you what, if you don't know there's a lie in your life, ask somebody that likes you. And ask them to be honest with you. Because they can immediately tell you, if they have to watch what they say around you, there's a lie in your life. If they have to watch how they're going to express something around you, there's a lie in your life. So people around you can immediately tell when there's a lie in your life because you got mad at them just one time too many. See? But you can tell the lies that you have in your life by the fruit that you have on your life. If you're spending a lot of your time agitated, and let me tell you, as a husband and a wife, if you're spending your time agitated, quit it. Just stop it. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to help anything. It's just going to hurt everything. It's the joy that's going to draw you together. As long as you stay miserable and upset, nobody wants to be around somebody miserable. You, for you to have the attraction that God wants to have in your life, you've got to believe His truth. So you begin to walk in His truth and begin to believe in that truth, and then it will bring an aurora around you. I tell you what, you know, now I don't know, I'm not thinking about anybody. But I'm thinking about somebody, but it was in my life several years ago. When that person walked in, I knew it was going to be a bad day. I mean, it was like, what's the cartoon character that had a cloud over him? Man, it was just like that. And listen, a lot of you smile and laugh at church, but when you go home, man, you're Eeyore. And you got to quit it. You've got to stop living it like that. Lighten up, loosen up, let it be a life, let it be a joy. Let God's joy, man, joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you lose your joy, you're weak. And the devil comes in and plays on you. And so you got to believe what God said about you. And then that third thing, you've got to believe of how good, great God is in you. How big He is. And how He can change anything. You know, I had a person one time. Elaine and I, the Lord showed us this principle several years ago with walking in line with in a church. Now this won't have much to do with a home, but I just want to illustrate how powerful it is. There was a person that came and blatantly, I mean, there's some people, for God to speak to your heart and you to move to another church, that's good. I mean, that's fine. We want God's leadership. I never want to try to hold sheep that God is calling somewhere else. That would be wrong in me. That's not the kind of shepherd I believe. But I do believe that if God leads you, come, let me bless you. Let me bless you. Let me pray over you. Let me send you out. But then there's sometimes that people are so mad that they leave, not because of God's direction, but because they haven't got control of their feelings and not control of the lies that's in their head. And they get mad, and they want everybody to know they're mad. And this happened, this about 25 years ago. So I can tell it, and you have no idea. About 25 years ago, this happened. And this was a relationship in my life that I enjoyed. I greatly enjoyed it. This person, in a way, ministered to me personally, or they ministered. I enjoyed their company. And out of nowhere, they just got mad, wanted everybody to know it, and left. Well, first of all, because back then I didn't realize how much you had to hold to the truth and how much that truth is tested in you at times. And so I immediately was brokenhearted. But then God immediately began to deal with Lane and I. Don't you think I'm stronger than this? Don't you think I'm stronger than this? And so the lie that the enemy was trying to make me worry about, God said, we're going to tear down that lie. And so Lane and I started believing that this was a good thing. And you know what? You can believe, it's just as quick as turning around like that. You can believe it's a bad thing or you can believe it's a good thing. I mean, just by turning around like that, you can do that. You can believe that God is big enough to cause all things to work together for good in your life. Or you can believe that he's so weak that he can't do anything to help you. And it bears out in the worry that you have. And it bears out in the fear that it brings. And it bears out in how much you stay awake at night thinking about it. See, that tells you you're believing lies. All those things tell you that you're believing lies. Well, things rocked on there, I think, for about 2 weeks. I looked up, and that person was coming toward me. I didn't know what was happening. That person walked up to me, handed me a check, and said, God said I couldn't leave without giving you this. Was it $7,000 or $9,000? But at least $7,000 was in that check. Now today, that same man is one of my best friends. So not only did God restore a relationship, but I ended up with about $7,000 out of that deal. Don't tell me that's not a good deal. It's all just a difference in the way you believe it. You can believe that what's going on, what they're saying about you, what their people are thinking about you, you can believe that's bad. And you can have an Eeyore attitude. Or you can make a decision. I'm going to believe that God's bigger than that. I'm going to believe that God's stronger than that. I'm going to believe that nothing's happened without God's eyes being upon it. I can trust God. This is a test, and this is only a test. God is testing my heart. And God can turn that thing around. I've never known God when a person would literally take a change in their attitude and believe that for God not to turn it around. I've never known it to happen for God not to turn it around. So we just got some decisions. So we have to have the eyes of the Lord. We look at what is caused. Then we will know that there is a cause. When you see what's caused, don't stop there. You'll keep your eyes on that all day. But God told us to fight not against flesh and blood. We want the eyes of Jesus. We want to be able to look at things, situations, family members, business deals, circumstances. We want to be able to look at those like the eyes of the Lord would see it. Because God just sees it differently. His view is higher. He has a higher perspective. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if you're looking eyeball with a problem, it just looks big. But you can give yourself a little bit of elevation, and all of a sudden that problem becomes much smaller. Now, in the book of Ephesians, it tells you that we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's where we are to be seated. See, some of you are still working. God said, won't you start believing? See, because we are to be seated with Christ. Christ is seated. He's not going to worry about it. Whatever's going on in your life, you're not going to make him worry any. Because he knows he has all power to change it. He knows that. He knows he can change it. He can turn it around. He can bring miracles to pass. God knows he can do that. So what he invites us to do is to sit beside him. That's why the Bible says that we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We're seated far above the situation. Therefore, we have a higher view. We have God's view of what's going on. And that really makes a difference. And Jesus has such a belief that if we're seated with him in heavenly places, that it will bring such a rest. We'll quit wringing our hands and we'll say, scoot over, Jesus, let me sit down here beside you. Because that's why it says, be seated with him in heavenly places. That you too will quit worrying about it. You'll quit trying to work it all out and spend nights trying to figure it all out and how you're going to get all this to happen and how you're going to make all this to work out. You're going to quit that. You're going to quit putting that pressure on your mate. And you're going to quit putting that pressure on your friends. And you're going to quit putting that pressure on your children. You're going to become a faith person and say, I can believe God for this. I can believe the Lord for this. And where that you won't be applying pressure by your presence, but you will apply faith by your presence. Now, Lee told me that George woke her up the other morning about 6 o'clock yelling. Now, I would normally think George was yelling for his cup of coffee for Lee to bring that. But George woke up Lee, George screaming at the devil and telling the devil, no, you can't do that. I tell you what, somebody thinks that's upsetting. That can be the most liberating thing you can do. Amen. Instead of yelling at your wife, just try yelling at the devil. And instead of getting all worked up over the situation, why don't you just turn that anger toward the place that God can use it? And if you will turn that anger toward the devil and love people and forgive people. Somebody says, well, when they come and ask me to forgive them, don't put people on that. You make a decision to be a forgiver. A forgiver forgives. That's what we do. Now, it's nice. It's really nice when somebody shows up on your doorstep and says, I'm sorry. But what you want to be able to say, oh, I forgave you 2 days ago for that thing. That's already forgiven. That's already forgiven. See, because we're to measure anything that somebody else does to us, we're to measure it in the light of what Jesus has forgiven us for. And when we measure anything that somebody's done to us or fails us or a mate has screamed at us or a mate has had whatever's went on, when we measure that in the size of what God has forgiven us, then, you know, if they ask forgiveness, okay. Now, things work better as the more mature you get. The more mature you get, you do get to a place to where that I believe that you can talk things over. You can deal with things. But it doesn't start there. You don't start there. I mean, the first thing that when we went into the war with Iraq, the first thing that they did was begin to send in all of these underground troops. The Navy SEALs and everybody begin to approach. That's the way you're going to change your situation. There will come a day when you will have a peace table. There will come a day where you can sit down with your mate and with your family and you can discuss things. But that's not where it starts. So many times people get their eyes on the utopia and they won't take anything less. You got to start wherever it is and you got to believe that you're already there. And you've got to believe and you've got to get the joy in your life that God's going to work my marriage out. God's going to work my family out. God's going to turn his things. And then you've got to begin to live like a believer. You've got to begin to live like you believe it's done. Amen. All right. Then the second area is the spirits that track you. Not only do you have to uncover the lies that you believe, but there are spirits that have to be dealt with. Spirits track people usually all through life. They call that a familiar spirit. A spirit that has familiarly been attacking you all through your life. And that's why a person that fights an intense amount of fear, they say, well, I've always fought fear. Fear has always been my battle. Well, my mama fought fear, and my daddy fought fear, and my grandma fought fear, and Uncle Jack back there, he fought fear. Because, see, that's what spirits do. They track you. So it's got to be dealt with. You've got to begin to deal with it for this thing to really come into a powerful way of resolving. I'm not talking about things that complicate your life. I'm talking about things that simplify your life. I tell you what, when you can yell at a demon instead of yelling at your wife, it's a wonderful thing. Somebody says, I do the same. But that's not the way the Lord wants it. God wants you, when you can take your vengeance out on the enemy. And so you're going to, God's going to begin to reveal to you various spirits. Now there's been times in this, the Lord has come and just told me a name for me to attack. Now that was unusual. I've only had that happen one time that I can remember. Usually I would determine what spirit I was fighting by what had been a continuous assault against my life, or against my mind, or against my peace, or against my joy. You don't have to go much back in your history. I mean, when you go to see a doctor, what's the first thing when you walk in there? First they're going to say, where's your insurance card? All right. And then after you have the insurance card, they're going to hand you a history page. And they're going to ask you to go. Because for that doctor to be able to take care of you, he's got to know your history. If you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance, God will help you. And it can become one of the most fascinating things in your life. Some would say, I'm scared of demons. You don't have to be scared of them because they're scared of you. And they're so scared that you're going to find out about them. You have to understand they have no power. They're bodiless. They have no body. They have no power. The only power they have power, but their power, they originate from you. They use you. They use you. They lie to you. What they do their lies. Jesus said they're father of lies. Their power exists, but it's no match for the power of God. And if you have the power of God, if you're operating in the authority of Christ, then you don't have to fear those things. And what you need to come to a place, you need to come to a place to believe that when you speak to a spirit, it obeys you. Now, somebody says, well, what if he don't move? What if he don't go? Well, Jesus had that problem too. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he had to speak to it four times. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now, if that devil resisted Jesus four times, it's not going to surprise me if you have to do it 10 times. But persistence is the key. You won't give up. Let me tell you what. Some of you think the devil's got a lot of patience, and some of you been giving him that glory. The devil has no patience. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. He has no patience to wait. That's why everything is now with him, pressing now. That's why he's always that now. He's that God of the pressure. He's that now. Fruit of the Spirit belongs to us. We're the ones that can outlast the devil. And what you do, you get the persistence there. You get a persistence against the enemy. And you just tell, devil, I don't care. I'm not moving. You're the one that's going to move. I will not allow you to torment my family anymore. And when God can begin to trust you, the Lord will begin to show you and reveal to you spirits that need to be pulled down. He will begin to reveal to you because there is, it's like an unlocking of a door. It's like God gives us these keys. The Lord spoke to Peter and said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's important to understand. It's the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not the keys of the kingdom of earth. It's to unlock heaven and to bring heaven to earth. So God wants to give you these keys, and all these keys, they're mysteries and they're secrets, but they're not there to be hid from you. They're there to be revealed to you. And all through this wonderful journey, God is going to teach you how to be a specialized soldier for him. And God's going to use people that you deeply love the most to bring that training into you. So the Lord's going to give you these keys all through it. He's going to give you these keys. If a key is needed, he may reveal to you a certain scripture. If the Lord speaks to you a scripture over your situation, that becomes your key to unlock that door. And you continue to use that key. You continue to use. Listen, you can only get indoors if you've got keys. So if you want to unlock the mystery of your relationship, of your home, then whatever the key is that God gives you, you treasure that key. You know, people take keys, they used to, and put them around their neck. And you knew, that's an important key. That's an important key. That must unlock something really special. Or maybe a grandmother would take a special box, and she would put all of her jewelry, and that she wanted to pass down. And she would say, now, darling, and she would pass that key to a granddaughter. And that granddaughter would take that key. And where? because there was treasure there. Jesus told Peter, he said, I will give you the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven. Not earth, heaven. To bring heaven into earth. God wants you and I to experience heaven on earth. Somebody says, I want a marriage made in heaven. Well, God's offering that. You may have to go through a lot of struggle to get there, but God's offering that. And if you will take the keys and then believe it's enough. Whatever God gives you, you must believe it's enough. I mean, we say, all I got's a key. Well, unlock the lousy door, you know. God, what the devil does, he tells us it's not enough. What we're really saying, there's a lie in us. There is a renegade emotion that has not been subdued to Christ in us. And we're looking for something that will have an emotional release. And what that means is there's a renegade emotion that's running loose in you. And those things are like monsters. They can never get enough. If you've got a renegade emotion in you, if there's an emotion in you of needing to feel needed, Don, tell me that I'm needed. Next hour, you got to tell me two times for me. But next hour, you got to tell me three times. Then the next time, you got to tell me four times. For me to get that same need feeling tomorrow, you got to tell me 10 times. And then the next day, you got to tell me 20 times. Renegade emotions must be subdued. They never, ever get full. And they will drive and force your life into places that God never intended. So take the key, whatever it is, when you're talking about the spirits that are tracking you, whatever key that God gives you, believe it is enough. If God gives you a little bitty scripture, I was listening to a person the other day, and they was giving a testimony along this line. And they said they was in this real need for a miracle, and God said no. Now, he wouldn't tell them no about the miracle, but that no was what God had given them as a key. Now, this was a very learned preacher that God had given that. One that we would think that he would give him Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 13. So that means something, wow, you know. But God just gave him two words. A word with two letters. And he had to believe that was enough. That was enough. Until another key is given to you, you keep unlocking that same door about your home, about your marriage, about your relationship. When God gives you a word, you keep using that key until God gives you another key. And when God gives you another key, then you have two keys. And then when you go through that door, God will give you three keys. Now you got three keys. You can unlock three doors. Then God will give you four keys. And then your key ring starts looking like Stephen's. Too many keys hanging on it. But see, that's okay. Because every key has the power to turn something in your life and your family. Turn it on, open it up, get into it. God knows. Now you gotta trust the Lord. You gotta trust God that what He's given you is enough. That you trust Him. See, that pulls down lies. All through this, it's just to pull down lies that we believe about God. It pulls down renegade emotions. It removes spirits. All the process is to do that, see. For you to believe that this is enough. That what God is giving me, it is enough. And I will continue to use this until God gives me another key. And then I'll use that key. Amen. So we just begin to look. What spirits are lurking out there? In your darkness, what spirits are lurking out there? What spirits? Well, just take, like you go to a doctor and they ask for a history. You just take your little history. And you just think about what's made you cry? What's made you mad? What's made you upset? What's bothered you? You can just run your history down there just a little bit. Like I said, if you have any doubt, just ask your friend. And because they can tell you. And when you run your history down, then you can see. God will help you. See, God guides us into all truth. I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, I guide you into the right truth at the right moment, at the right time. So God's going to guide you into truth that will combat what the devil is trying to do. So you trust it. You say, Lord, the devil's in my living room. And here, everything you've given me is in the dining room. How come you're dealing with me about the dining room when I'm hearing the devil in the living room? And God says, who's going to run this deliverance? You or me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me to walk through the things that I know need to be handled first? Will you have faith in me, God says? Will you trust me? Well, there's all kinds of spirits. There's spirits of fear, discouragement, depression, oppression, pride, rebellion, anger, bitterness. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But when something begins to happen in you that's not rational, when something begins to happen against you that's not rational, that is an idea to start asking God, is there a tracking spirit that has been sent against me? When things begin to happen, when there's battles in you, you say, I just can't figure this out. I just can't figure this out. Why are we fussing all the time? Why are we fussing all the time? I'm mad at you all the time. Why? When you get into those irrational places, it is time to start saying, Lord, is there a tracking spirit? Is there a spirit that the kingdom of darkness has sent against me? And Lord, if so, what do I need to do? Now, there's been times that the Lord has revealed a spirit's name to me, but that's been few and far between. So usually I don't have to know. I can know what it's caused. You spirit of darkness that's dealt torment in my life, that's dealt torment in my marriage, that's dealt torment with my family. If the Lord knows a name is needed, He'll give you the name. That'll be a key. But if He doesn't, if He just shows you what's caused, then that's the key, see? And you will begin then to wrestle against that spirit. But now, you don't take a 2-year-old and put him in a yard with a snake. But you put me in a yard with a snake and give me a rake, I'll beat that rascal's head. Do you understand? So before you take on it, the Lord may have to deal with you over getting some things in your arsenal. You may have to, I don't know, most of the time when I'm taking crash courses, I'm headed into a spiritual battle that I'm not ready for, and so I'm taking crash courses. I take crash courses on the authority of Jesus' name, on the power of the blood, because when I walk into that yard with that snake, I want to know I'm going to bust that rascal's head. I want to know I'm going to do away with that snake. I don't want that snake to claim that as his yard. You understand? So God may have to prepare you. It's okay. All of that's the process of the Lord. And if you will trust God, God will lead you in that. He'll lead you step by step. God is so good. I couldn't thank Him enough. At the times that what I thought was the battle was not the battle. And how God would come and give a key or give a teaching into my life that would help me to raise up and deal with the spirit. Now, there are places to where the communication skills are important. There is a place where that all of the regular dynamics of working are important. But that's not where it starts. It starts spiritually. A man and woman take an authority in their home, standing side by side against the devil. If you're a single parent, I want you to know you got the best one standing beside you as possible. Jesus said, no man standing there. Can I just stand there with you? And Jesus stands right there beside you. Wow. Wow. So the Lord is good. Amen. And God's going to help us. Let's just kind of close with the scripture. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. All. Everybody say all again. All that were oppressed of the devil. Every person that's been tormented, every person that's been vexed, every person that's been pushed down, every person that's been pushed back, every person that the devil's trying to hold you down, everyone, all, the Bible says, all that were oppressed by the enemy can be freed from the torment of the devil. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Lord, as we come to the close, I just give you praise and glory for the power of your name, Lord. Now, during this, as far as I know, I'm going to be leaving this. I have 235 pages of notes. And I've preached to you probably about 10 of those pages. There's a full spectrum. But we're not in this thing for information. We're in this thing for power. We're in this thing for results. Amen. But I asked the Lord to just let me speak things that will stimulate your heart. If God has done that, then you take it and run with it. It may be a little bit, but a little is much when God is in it. A little is much when God is in it. If anything that we've said today, if any part of it spoken to your heart, you take it and run with it. You take it and learn about it. You take it and grow in it. You take it and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you in such high, elevated places with it, to where you will be able to destroy that rascal that has tried to destroy you. And that you will come out of this thing happy and blessed in the family that God's called you to and that God has placed you in. Can you say amen? Now we say we're going to close tonight with miracles. I'm going to ask those that would desire a miracle to come on. Then we're going to release everybody, and we're going to only have those to stay that want to believe God with us for a miracle. Is anyone that you say, Jerry, I'm in a place and I really desperately need a miracle? If so, I just want you to come. Come. We're going to begin to do this in our services. And we're not going to stop till we see 25 miracles a week. We want 25. Everybody say, we want 25 miracles a week. We want 25 miracles a week. So we're not going to stop until God gives us what we're asking for. What I believe was revealed. God gave me a key, Jimmy. I believe the Lord inspired me to believe for 25 miracles. I believe that's a key. I believe that's a key. I don't believe that that's all that God wants to do, but I believe it's right now it's my key. It's my key. Now I want to quickly ask you, please never let anybody ever have to stand alone believing for a miracle. The truth of the matter, this is a year we can't make it alone. One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. If your heart is burdened for a person here, I want you to come and I want you to find somebody to just lay a hand on their shoulder. Would you do that? Would you give yourself to that just for a few minutes? Would you come if you want to believe the Lord? Because you may be the one standing in this line next week, or you may be the one standing in this line the week after. But come on, let's just try to get every person that we can here. Just try to get every person that we can here. Praise the Lord. They're standing and believing for a miracle. Make sure everyone has got someone that's standing with them. Now, if you would look back at me just a quick minute. You that are here to pray. Let's don't make this difficult. Let's act like Jesus died on that cross. And let's act like he came out of that tomb. And let's act like that he will flow through us as he said he would. Let's believe it. That's our battle. We that are praying for people, that's our battle. Our battle is to believe that the person that we're touching, that the Jesus inside of us, that well is springing up and is stirring up inside of us. And that well is coming up inside of us, and it is enough. That it is enough. And that I want you to pray and release your faith over that person that you have their hand on your shoulder. I want you to believe God for a miracle of God in Jesus' name.